This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown. We are entering week 15, which means it should be playoff time in your fantasy league. I'm actually coming to you from San Jose, California. Yes, just like 2 months ago when the Patriots made their way out here and spent a full week in between West Coast games. They're doing it again, and if they're doing it again, so am I. So we're coming to you from out here, actually recording this show. So as always, we love getting your emails. But just so you know, as you're listening to the show, on this particular occasion, the show is pre-recorded, but webradio at patriots.com is our email address. If you have any thoughts, and maybe thoughts for next week, but we are coming to you from outside of the Bay Area. And the Patriots.
We'll do it live. Do it live!
To face the Raiders. Thanks for that. Yeah, we try to do it live as much as we can. Not exactly doing it live this time, but we hope you understand. Hey, it's great being out here and following the Pats and still being able to bring you Fantasy Lowdown and what is clearly an important week. If you're still alive, congratulations to you. Best of luck in the playoffs. I have two fantasy leagues myself. I came into the final week of the season alive in both of them for a final spot. I was actually in fifth place in both of my leagues with the top four making it in, and I made it in on one of them, did not make it in on the other. So very excited to be in on one of them. And, fourth seed going up against the number one seed, a friend of mine who has had a dominant year, so it's going to be tough, and I've got some big-time question marks on my team. Most importantly, Joseph Addai, but fortunately, I also have Dominic Rhodes on hand, so I'll be waiting out that decision, but leaning towards Dominic Rhodes. So that's certainly one of the dominant storylines in fantasy football this weekend is the running back situation in Indianapolis. Joseph Addai having a disappointing year all the way around, missed a few games here and there, some really low performance, some low grade performances, but Dominic Rhodes is one of the more capable backups. So we'll see if he gets more of a shot. It looks at this point. It looks as though he will. We've got a few other situations to look at. The Minnesota quarterback situation, Frank Gore out in San Francisco. Definitely some interesting situations that we're going to talk about today. Let's first take a quick look back week four last week, some of the performances in the NFL that were of note from a fantasy standpoint, starting with quarterbacks. I guess the nod goes to Matt Schaub here, who had certainly the high yardage day, 414 yards, just a massive yardage day, two touchdowns and an interception for Schaub, Houston beating Green Bay in the final moments. A couple of standout performances from a touchdown and no interception standpoint. Peyton Manning scoring three touchdowns, no interceptions. Same there with Phillip Rivers. And Seneca Wallace, probably the surprise QB performance of the week against the Patriots. He certainly did enough to lead his team to a win. Seahawks losing to the Pats, as we all know, in the final minutes. There are three touchdown passes, no interceptions, two of those touchdown passes going to Deion Branch, former Patriot Deion Branch, who had a huge game, two touchdowns, and then that oddball play where he reached 63 yards in juking Junior Seau out of the shoes. So as we get to wide receivers, Branch obviously having a big performance. That was it as far as three touchdown games. But in the two-touchdown category, a big game for Jeff Garcia, two touchdowns, no picks, 321 yards on Monday Night Football against Carolina, the Buccaneers losing that game, but Garcia throwing a couple of touchdown passes there. Jay Cutler had a pair, Drew Brees had a pair, Sean Hill, Aaron Rodgers all had a pair. Rodgers and Hill throwing interceptions as well, becoming close to 300 yards passing. Kyle Orton with two touchdowns and a pick. Obviously, we will get to the Matt Cassel situation. Last week, he had a touchdown pass and no interceptions, 268 yards, and unfortunately, just a devastating turn of events for him from a personal family standpoint with the death of his father earlier this week. Now, the team being on the West Coast, that's where he's from. Fortunately, I hate to use the word fortunately at all, but he's close enough that he was probably able to get down there to his family. And all signs point to Castle being ready to go and playing on Sunday. A question that is obviously no one can answer until they go through it, and fortunately I haven't, is how do you perform on a game like this? And it seems like a lot of athletes, Brett Favre comes to mind from a few years ago, sort of uses this as a tribute to the, you know, loved one who passed on, or just a way to honor that family member. And we'll see if Matt Castle does the same. But I think all expectations are that he'll play. And from a fantasy standpoint, which obviously is far from the priority here, but from a fantasy standpoint, if you look out at any QB rankings for this week, it looks like Matt Castle is in for a big game against the Raiders. A bunch of other quarterback performances of note. I should mention Kerry Collins had a pair of touchdowns as well last week for Tennessee in their blowout over Cleveland, two picks in addition to that. And a few other decent games yardage-wise. Kurt Warner, 239 yards, a touchdown, and a pick in Arizona's win over St. Louis as they clinch a division title, which is impressive for that organization. And when we dip down to the lower tier of quarterbacks, J.P. Lossman, Ken Dorsey, I mean, predictably, these guys had miserable performances. Their teams aren't very good. They were stepping in as backups, and Buffalo losing big time to Miami, Cleveland losing big time to Tennessee. And then how about Tony Romo with three interceptions? One of the absolute worst outings, I think, that he's had. Just terrible performance, and Dallas leading in most of that game and then falling at the end. In the final score, the final in that game being 20-13, with a Tony Romo interception returned all the way by DeShay Townsend for a touchdown. So not a great performance by Tony Romo, and personally, I don't see it being a bounce-back game for Romo this week against the Giants at home. That's just me. I don't think we're going to see much out of Romo this week either. From a running back standpoint, it all revolves around D'Angelo Williams these days. How about what he's been able to do these last few weeks? Turning into an MVP candidate. He's not going to win the MVP, but the way he's performing for a 10-3 division-leading team in Carolina is outstanding. Two touchdowns, 186 yards for Williams on Monday Night Football. Brian Westbrook, how about him? 131 yards rushing, 72 yards receiving, a touchdown in both categories. Chris Johnson had 136 yards and a touchdown. A two-touchdown performance by Jonathan Stewart. We mentioned D'Angelo Williams. Just absolutely extraordinary what that running game has been able to do. Williams and Stewart, they're really working well together. And all signs point to that duo continuing to churn out. And a couple of other 100-yard games. Ryan Grant had 104 yards and a touchdown. Steve Slayton, 120 yards and no touchdowns, however. Adrian Peterson hit the 100-yard mark also without a score. And a handful of other running backs reached the end zone. Tomlinson with a touchdown on his 91 yards. Lendale White, 99 yards and a touchdown. Thomas Jones, Michael Turner, low yardage games. Also LaRon McClain. But those guys did reach the end zone in the category of running backs who, you know, were able to put up some fantasy numbers on last week in Week 14. Wide receivers, you know, Antonio Bryant, this was just an outstanding performance for him. I was lucky enough to have him on one of my teams. However, I didn't win. It's a league that I did not make the playoffs, so it wasn't enough to get me in there. 200 yards and a pair of scores in that really intriguing Monday Night Football game. A lot of big-time fantasy performances there. 148 yards and a touchdown for Vincent Jackson, 146 yards and a touchdown for Kevin Walter, 164 yards for Roddy White. Wes Welker, 134 yards, didn't score, got that two-point conversion, but probably doesn't count much for you. And Steve Smith, 117 yards and a touchdown. Bunch of other wideouts who scored on Week 14, Calvin Johnson, Marvin Harrison, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Derek Mason, who's having a good year, Antoine Randall-El, Brian Johnson, and Terrell Owens. I mentioned Tony Romo. I don't think he's going to have quite a big performance. I also agree on that side with for Terrell Owens. I don't see much out of him on Sunday either. I think there's some frustration in Dallas. And to me, it's going to be impacting Tony Romo and Terrell Owens. Wide receivers, no surprise, Tony Gonzalez with a touchdown and 73 yards. He is a scoring machine, as always, at tight end. Just keeps on going there. John Carlson for Seattle, a guy who I've been really high on. He had nine catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown for the Seahawks. Vasante Shenko, who had 65 yards and a touchdown It was his performance, I think, was more post-game. Dan, if you're listening, I'm sure you'd agree. Quite an interesting situation in Minnesota for Vasante Shenko. Kind of a lighthearted one, but interesting nonetheless. Greg Olson, 52 yards and a touchdown. Donald Lee as well, 48 yards and a touchdown. Anthony Fasano scored. Desmond Clark scored, just 3 catches and 8 yards. But, hey, if you're a tight end and you reach the end zone, that's all you're looking for. Jason Witten had 62 yards, no touchdowns. But, hey, doesn't look like it looked like a few of Tony Romo's errant passes were heading his way. Both guys seem to take some blame. But, you know, it seemed like, in my eyes, Jason Witten was more to blame on some of those incompletions. From a defensive standpoint, you know, the Colts' defense hasn't been highly statistically rated this year, but when you play Cincinnati, that all goes out the window. 3 interceptions for them. They only allowed 3 points against the Bengals. Cardinals, same sort of situation. 1 pick, 2 fumble recoveries. How about the Steelers going up against Dallas? A good offense, but the Steelers week in, week out, proving what kind of defense they really have. Outstanding, historic maybe. 3 picks, 2 fumble recoveries. In that game, they give up 13 points to the Dallas Cowboys. The Ravens against Washington, Dolphins against Buffalo, and Chargers against Oakland were among the other defenses who had standout performances. So we've got a little bit of a recap there of Week 14, and now it's Week 15. It's playoff time. Patriots out here in the Bay Area playing against the Raiders. Tonight's game is New Orleans-Chicago. New Orleans, high-powered offense. Chicago, a defense that has been playing stellar football, and it'll be interesting to see how that matchup turns out. Like I said earlier, we are in the West Coast here with the Patriots, recording the show earlier in the day. So as we come to you, we're not coming to you live. We can do it live, but we're not coming to you live. A couple of the other key matchups this weekend that I have my eyes on fantasy-wise, Detroit-Indianapolis. Indianapolis is in the stretch where they just have these some of the absolute dregs of the NFL, and that continues this week, hosting Detroit. Obviously, you figure that's a game Indianapolis will win and win handily. But I kind of like Kevin Smith, the Detroit running back, in this game. I think he might be able to do some damage. Now, if Detroit is down big, you know, they'll probably be throwing the ball. Obviously, don't like that offense overall, but I think Kevin Smith might have an ability to do some damage a little bit on the ground against Indianapolis. Minnesota-Arizona, really intriguing game because Arizona's offense just continues to roll, but they're playing a much tougher defense now in Minnesota. We'll see if Kurt Warner can continue his pace. He probably will, and if you look at rankings of wide receivers, Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald, if they're not 1-2, they are certainly in the top 3 or 4 pretty much everywhere you look. So that's a big one as well. Denver-Carolina. Like I said earlier, the Carolina running game has just been so impressive. D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, a veteran, a rookie. They're both reaching the end zone a bunch of times. This past game was sort of epitomized. They both had over 100 yards, and they both had 2 touchdowns, which is just extraordinary. So that's an interesting game there as well. And Tampa Bay-Atlanta, there's really no more intriguing division in the NFL than the NFC South. And these teams, any two teams in that division play each other, it's really anyone's game. Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, all these teams, they're all strong. And if they were in different divisions, it seems like almost any of them could be division winners. But Tampa Bay, Atlanta is very intriguing. I loved what, you know, you saw what Tampa Bay did offensively the other night. They didn't win the game, but a few standout fantasy performances. And Atlanta, hey, they're 8-5. You've got to respect what they're doing with Matt Ryan. Roddy White really emerging as one of the absolute elite wide receivers in the league. And Michael Turner. I don't know if anyone really knew what, you know, figured Michael Turner is he could run hard. He was a great backup for LaDainian Tomlinson. But sort of one of those situations, you know, almost you could compare it a little bit to Lamont Jordan 4 or 5 years ago before he went to Oakland. He was a backup with the Jets, backing up Curtis Martin for a while. And, you know, capable backup, and then he signs a big contract. You just don't really know what you're going to get out of these backups when they're given the load. Well, Michael Turner is proving that he truly deserved an opportunity after backing up LaDainian Tomlinson, making the most of it. So that's that game as well. A few others, Washington, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Miami, Seattle, St. Louis, Buffalo at the Jets. Obviously, that's a big game for the Patriots. Any team, any game involving Buffalo, the Jets, Miami, Baltimore these days, big for the Patriots. San Diego plays Kansas City. Green Bay plays Jacksonville. Tennessee plays Houston. Pittsburgh plays Baltimore. And the Dallas Cowboys host the Giants on Sunday night. Philadelphia hosts Cleveland on Monday night. So we will get to a few of your emails. Like I said, you can feel free to email us in. We are coming to you recorded, so we won't be able to get to your emails during the show, but we have a few in the can. We're going to get to those in just a bit. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12-28-08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's going to be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really great stuff at Christmas Tree Shop. And I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown for Week 15. It's a Thursday. And coming to you from the Bay Area with the Patriots, I won't quite rub in the weather situation out here. Although, from what I gather, it's gotten a little better out there in New England. But the beginning of the week, you know, it was bitter cold out in Foxborough. We had some nice, pleasant weather out here, so I figured I'd mention it. Don't want to rub it in. Don't want to really get antagonized when I come back. But that is one of the benefits. Definitely one of the benefits coming out here in December for a week. Is the weather. So it's been pleasant so far as Patriots bask in the glow of their win over the Seahawks and get ready for the Raiders. And as they said yesterday and really all through the last couple weeks, is it's virtually playoff time for them. Every single game is a must win. They've got to look at it that way, even though you know, it's not literally a must win. They can it's not like they'll be eliminated if they lose this week, but they're treating it as a must win. They need to win out and get help really to get into the playoffs. And it's interesting because, you know, this week it seems like the division is more attainable. Last week it seemed like the wild card was more attainable. That kind of varies week to week. They're looking to, you know, tied right now with the Jets and Dolphins for the division lead. They're just behind Baltimore and the Colts for wild card berth. So great weeks of intriguing games and scoreboard watching and all that. So we'll see what happens here in Week 15. Tonight's game, New Orleans-Chicago, obviously does not have any playoff implications for the Patriots, but an interesting game nonetheless. Let's get to a few emails here. First from Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. Hi, Brian. First off, I want to thank you for the last-minute advice last week. Thanks to your advice on starting the San Diego defense over the Tampa Bay defense, I squeaked out a win and retained first place in my league heading into the playoffs. Who knew that the TB defense was going to get absolutely torched by Carolina? Well, Kevin, obviously I'm very happy to have helped there. I'm not going to take a ton of credit there. I mean, I really feel like San Diego against Oakland rather than Tampa Bay over Carolina was the way to go. Now, did I expect Carolina's running game to have that much of a high performance against Tampa Bay? No, but I just thought, you know, if you're it's a little bit of a safer pick to go San Diego against Oakland with that passing game. So good luck to you, and congratulations on that. Kevin continues, for this week, I think I'm going to stick with San Diego again over the Tampa Bay defense, mostly because the Chargers are playing the Chiefs and the Bucs are on the road against the Falcons. I would agree with you there, Kevin. Go with San Diego against the Chiefs. Take advantage of San Diego being in a lousy division and having four games against these terrible offenses. I think the Chiefs' offense is a little more capable than than the Raiders' offense. The Chiefs, you know, Tyler Thigpen has been impressive, or at least more so than anyone would have thought. But I still think that San Diego is the way to go, even though their defense overall this year hasn't been great. The Bucs, you know, short week, going back on the road against the Falcons, high-powered offense there. Really, an offense that doesn't have a lot of holes. I think that's just you're really putting yourself in a tough position there. I'd go San Diego. More from Kevin. One of my question marks this week is between Steve Slayton and Steve Breston. I'm really tempted to go with Slayton, but that Tennessee defense, especially with Haynesworth is healthy, is amazing. However, Breston is going against the Minnesota pass defense. That is no walk in the park either. I would lean towards Steve Slayton in this battle of the underrated Steves, I guess you could say. Miami's pass defense is pretty good, but you know, as far as yardage, it's not as good as you might think. But that being said, Steve Slayton, to me, if you've got a running back who is, you know, the number one option for his team, he's on a hot streak. Now, I've certainly been on record this year as saying that rookie running backs who have one or two, you know, massive weeks, I'm hesitant to use them right after that because I feel like there's just a greater chance of a decline. But when he's having these hot streaks down late in the season, I feel like he might just be a guy who's not going to hit that rookie wall. But basically, if you're looking at a battle between Steve Slayton and Steve Breston, number one running back, a guy playing well on a hot streak against a number three wide receiver, I'd always lean towards that number one running back. I think Steve Breston might get a share of passes thrown his way this week, but it's still Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin 1-2 duo, and you know Steve Slayton's going to get those carries. I mean, sure, if the Texans are down big early, maybe it'll be limited a bit. I'd still lean towards Slayton in that case, but it's close. I'd lean towards Slayton. One more from Kevin. The other spot this week is tight end. I have Greg Olsen penciled in as my starter going against New Orleans tonight. But I also have Kevin Boss, who will be at Dallas. Boss only had one catch for 5 yards last week, and I believe Olsen had a TD reception. What do you think? Well, Kevin, you're right. Olsen did have a TD reception, and Kevin Boss was one of my sleeper picks last week on Patriots Today, a segment that we do, a fantasy lowdown segment we do each and every week. So I was very disappointed to see Boss have only one catch in just a rough outing. I'd lean towards Olsen. I think Olsen is the better bet tonight going against New Orleans. He did have a touchdown last week. He's been the more consistent tight end between Boss and Olsen. Boss going against Dallas. I actually think that's going to be an interesting game. Dallas, New York. I think there's a better chance that New York rebounds than Dallas does. But I'm hesitant to think that Kevin Boss is going to be involved in that offense. Just for a little bit of perspective, Greg Rosenthal, who we had on the show last week, and is a guy whose rankings I absolutely take a look at every week, both for this show and for my my own fantasy teams. He has Greg Olsen ranked 12th, Kevin Boss 15th. So, you know, as I would have expected, Olsen ranked a little bit higher, not dramatically so, but that New Orleans defense can certainly be thrown upon, and I would lean towards, sitting Boss and keeping Olsen in your lineup. So, Kevin, much appreciated. Always like to hear from you and appreciate those questions. Happy I could help last week. So, I guess the pressure is on me to give you another big week and some good advice as you're in the playoffs. Another email here. This is actually a first-time emailer, Frank from Stuttgart, Germany. This is impressive, getting an email from Germany. Much appreciated. Like your show, every bit of advice is nice and worth to consider. I'm doing pretty good in my two leagues, third and in the playoffs in Eric Scalvino's PFW league, and fourth out of 14 in the other. No playoffs there, unfortunately. So, hey, much like me, one in the playoffs in one of two leagues. Eric's PFW league, I'm pretty set mostly in both teams, and I've narrowed it down to this. What would you do regarding these questions? Both leagues are points per reception. Ricky Williams against the Niners or Lavernius Coles against Buffalo at a flex position? Coles disappointed lately, and Williams is only a part-time player. Interesting question there. I'd certainly lean towards Lavernius Coles. He's had some health issues recently, but he, when it comes down to it, I just think Ricky Williams, number two running back for that team, granted they have a very interesting, diverse offense. Coles has disappointed. I did have Coles on one of my teams and have had him on the bench more of late. But I think, you know, when Brett Favre's throwing the ball, he's going to get involved a little bit. Maybe not quite like that one game back against Arizona a couple months ago when he had three touchdowns in one half, I believe it was. But I would definitely, in that case, lean towards Lavernius Coles at flex for you. Kevin Boss or Bo Scaife at tight end. Both are a bit out of the offense the last few weeks. That's a very good point. I enjoyed seeing what Bo Scaife was able to do for a couple weeks there on the Tennessee offense. He had a pretty good stretch. Just covered the Boss situation. I don't see big things out of him. But if we're looking, like I said earlier, at Greg Rosenthal's rankings, which I always like to do, they're right there. Bo Scaife 13, Kevin Boss 15. So Olsen, Scaife, Vasante Shanko, Kevin Boss, all in that mid-range. Week-to-week sort of thing with some of these tight ends. There's only a few Tony Gonzalez and Jason Witten's out there who are going to pretty much get your production each and every week. So I would lean towards Scaife, lean towards him slightly at Houston, a bad defense. I'd lean towards him there. Reggie Bush at Chicago tonight or Steve Slayton against Tennessee at running back. I'm leaning towards Bush because of his receiving ability and the Titans' tough defense. Well, your points per reception situation there might help with Bush. I really don't like him though all that much this week. I think this is going to be a game where if New Orleans does have some offensive production, which when Drew Brees is the quarterback is always a possibility, I think it's going to be more with the deep ball. So I'm leaning, in my opinion, actually, to be honest with you, I'm going with Steve Slayton out of that duo right there. But your points per reception, it's always interesting to think about there. I'd still lean towards Slayton. I think he could actually catch the ball as well a little bit. Marcus Colston at Chicago or Steve Breston versus Minnesota at wide receiver. Colston is unpredictable but has more upside. I think Breston is getting receptions but no TDs. Pretty good analysis there. I'd always go for Colston rather than Breston. Marcus Colston, even though he's having a down year both because of his injury and some lack of production, Lance Moore has been stepping up. I think when Drew Brees is throwing the ball and you're the number one receiver for that team, you are starting Marcus Colston each and every week. Like I said earlier with another emailer, Steve Breston being the third option for his team, he's doing really well for a third option. In many cases, he's startable depending on who else you have. But I would right there go with Marcus Colston. So to recap here, Frank, I'd go Lavernius Coles over Ricky Williams. I'd go Bo Scaife over Kevin Boss. I'd go Slayton over Bush, and I'd go Colson over Breston. But there are some tough decisions there. That's my opinion. I wish you luck in the playoffs there in Eric's league, Frank, and much appreciated as far as getting your email, and appreciate you listening to the show. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Getting your emails coming to you from the Bay Area with the Patriots. We still got a lot more to get to. We got another emailer here as well. Let's hear what he has to say. This is one of our staple emailers, Paul from London. Hey, B-Lo. Thanks for the advice of dropping Welker and keeping Moss last week. Just kidding. At least the game didn't matter, and as I said, I was going to take risks, and I won anyway. Well, you know, Paul, I remember when you emailed me last week, and I think you were looking to sort of get a rival of yours, I believe, and you were trying to exact some revenge, maybe. You had your playoff position already set in stone, and hey, you know, sorry I couldn't help you on that one, but hey, Welker had a big game, didn't reach the end zone, but just a huge yardage game. Okay, on a bye this week with the semifinals next week and the final in week 17. Interesting. Congrats on getting the bye. Are there any players I should look to pick up for week 16 and 17? I picked up four new players already, and we got his roster here. It looks like the new players you've picked up maybe are Sammy Morris, Tatum Bell, Dominic Hickson. Not sure who the other new one, maybe Matt Schaub. I'm just looking at your full roster there. Well, those are some interesting ones. Tatum Bell would have been one, I'd say, just because the Denver running back, whoever the Denver running back du jour is, that's a guy you're going to want to have on your roster if you can. So congratulations on picking him up. Sammy Morris, a little less so, but, you know, he is still the number one guy for the Pats, and I definitely would say that he's a decent guy to have on your roster. And Dominic Hickson, you know, when Burris went out, that was certainly a topic last week when we knew that Plexico Burris wasn't going to be in there. Which of the Giants receivers, sort of a handful of guys sort of grouped together there, which one would step up the most? Dominic Hickson, hey, they're sending the ball his way, and that was just a terrible drop that he had last week on a deep ball from Eli Manning. But overall, I like Dominic Hickson. I personally really like Steve Smith. Been high on him, although he's not as involved in the offense as I would have liked. So another guy to keep in mind, Devon Bess. I've mentioned him a couple weeks ago. At this point, it might be too late to pick him up, Paul. But Devon Bess out of Miami, they've got a weak schedule these next couple of weeks, San Francisco included, and that's definitely a guy that I've had my eyes on. So there's a few for you, and always look at defense. You've got Baltimore defense, so that's fine right there. But Miami's defense also I picked up in one of my leagues, and they've got San Francisco this week. Let me just take a quick peek here. I can't remember off the top of my head who they play before they play the Jets to close it out. Kansas City, that's right. They've got San Francisco, Kansas City, and the Jets. So for week 16, hey, the Miami defense, if available, is certainly an option, I would say. Paul continues, I think I would like a new tight end, though. His tight end is Chris Cooley, who's had a slow, quiet couple weeks. Available tight ends include Owen Daniels, Tony Scheffler, John Carlson, Bo Scaife, Jeremy Shockey, Vernon Davis, and Kevin Boss. I like Daniels and Scheffler with their QBs back at full strength, and Carlson has been great recently as well. Cheers, Brian. Wow, just a plethora of tight ends there. And one of the topics I had with Greg Rosenthal of RotoWorld.com last week was how there are so many tight ends that you can rely on this year, in addition to just those top-tier guys. And of that group that you mentioned there, the six or seven right there, I've been very impressed with John Carlson. I was last week. What he was able to do with Seneca Wallace, it seems like Seneca Wallace is kind of has his eyes on John Carlson. Ball was thrown to him a lot. He had nine catches. To me, John Carlson is number one in that group, with Owen Daniels, in my opinion, a close second. Scheffler, absolutely. I mean, I like him as well. And like you said, Jay Cutler is at full strength. But it just seems like, Owen Daniels is more of a reliable guy there in that offense. Scaife, Shockey, Vernon Davis, Kevin Boss, you can do better, I think. Those are guys who, hey, if those are your tight ends, you can roll with them as well. But in my opinion, it would go Carlson, Daniels, Scheffler there, Paul, if you're looking to pick up a tight end. Hard to give up on Chris Cooley just because of what he's done in the past, but if you do have an opportunity to pick one of those guys up, I'd go for it, and John Carlson would be my guy. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Feel free to send in your emails. Like I said earlier, we are coming to you recorded today from the West Coast, but always good to hear from you. And we're continuing on here on the Fantasy Lowdown. A few more topics to get to as the show rolls on from San Jose. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go Pats!
Woo!
Let's go Pats! Let's go Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Revolution have the perfect shopping plan to avoid crowded malls and long lines during this hectic holiday season.
Oh, what a save, Reese, again!
This year, get everyone on your list the Revolution Holiday Pack. With the Revolution Holiday Pack, you'll skip the lines and they'll get tickets to four soccer matches of their choice. And they'll get to pick their seats before tickets go on sale to the general public. Plus, they'll receive a limited edition, full-color 2009 Revolution wall calendar featuring their favorite players. We know managing the holiday budget is more important than ever, and that's why the Revolution Holiday Packs start at just $76. We even offer flexible payment plans. You can pay $25 now and the rest in 09. Get your holiday shopping done quickly and easy by ordering the New England Revolution Holiday Pack. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and give the gift of Revolution Soccer. Pride.
Knocked down, it's loose.
Passion.
And it's in.
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriots fans, this holiday season, there's more reasons than ever to head to the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Not only will you save big, but you could win incredible prizes just for shopping. Enter the Ultimate Holiday Contest, and you might win a VIP game day experience, a tour of the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, given by a Patriots Hall of Famer, dinner with the head coach, and much more. Plus, get a free Patriots gift with any $50, $100, or $200 purchase at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Can't make it to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and take advantage of the $5 flat rate for shipping on every order, regardless of size or destination. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round, Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now and enter the ultimate holiday contest at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. In-store promotions not valid on game day. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio for Week 15. Probably a playoff week for you. Coming to you from the Bay Area with the Patriots and talking about some of the key matchups and taking your emails as well here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Amazing that this season is winding down, the fantasy and the NFL season. NFL season, I guess, with the playoffs still has a ways to go, but this is playoff season in fantasy football. So good luck to you. As I said earlier, I've got one of my teams in the playoffs, so I'm itching for this Sunday to come around. I do have Drew Brees in my on my team, so tonight's game has a lot of meaning for me. And actually, I have Greg Olsen as well, a tight end that we mentioned. So a lot of meaning in tonight's game for me, and hopefully for you as well if you're still involved in your league's playoffs. A couple of thoughts here from Greg Rosenthal. I'd like to take a look at in his column and his goal line stand this week. He rattles off a few questions and answers them. And one of them is about the Patriots defense. Can the calcifying Patriots defense hold up for another week? It's a bad sign when every defensive stop against the Seahawks feels like a small miracle. Much depends on the status of Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren. If the Patriots linemen are hurt again, Justin Fargas could run all over a depleted front seven forced to play recent retirees in key positions. Talking about the Patriots defense a little bit, it's amazing because they, for a while there, they weren't even a bend-but-don't-break defense. They were a bend and break, but still sort of come out on top with a key interception sort of at the end. And, you know, Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren have practiced at least on a limited basis so far this week, and it seems like they will be back, although Ty Warren seems to be more of a question since he's missed a couple of games. But Justin Fargus is an interesting guy. The Raiders' passing game is absolutely abysmal. If you have Jamarcus Russell, if you picked up Andrew Walter, if you have, you know, Johnny Lee Higgins, Ashley Lalee, any of these guys, I don't advise starting them. Justin Fargus really would be the only guy who is at all startable. I guess Zach Miller on the right week as well. He's had a solid year, especially the last couple of weeks. But Justin Fargus, you know, would be the one guy. But I think if the Patriots are at full strength, and it seems like there's a chance they will be, I wouldn't advise starting Justin Fargus, and I probably wouldn't advise starting him anyways if you have a better option. But he might be the only one possible. We talked about some of the backup quarterbacks who have gotten opportunities this year because of injury or otherwise, including Matt Cassel and a couple of the others from last week who got in the action. J.P. Losman, Ken Dorsey, and then Tavares Jackson. Looks like he'll be back in the mix for Minnesota. Just some poor performances. And one of Greg Rosenthal's questions is, will Tavares Jackson and J.P. Losman render their teammates irrelevant? And that's the interesting point. It's not just the quarterback who, you know, you might say, oh, that quarterback's terrible. Well, if you all of a sudden realize, oh, wait a minute, I've got a wide receiver from that team, then you could be in trouble too. So what Greg says is Bernard Berry and Lee Evans have great matchups on paper, but there should be serious doubts whether their quarterbacks are up to the task of getting them the ball. Marshawn Lynch's strong late-season run also could run into a Chris Jenkins-sized wall. So Bernard Berrien with Minnesota going against Arizona, the question is, you know, he's having a really good year, but do you trust Tavares Jackson throwing him the ball? With Lee Evans, Buffalo going up against the Jets, again, a good possible matchup there, but do you trust J.P. Losman getting him the ball? Another one not mentioned here, Braylon Edwards. Do you trust Ken Dorsey getting the ball to Braylon Edwards or even Kellen Winslow for that matter? So that's a very interesting question. And one more here from Greg. Are Frank Gore, Marion Barber, Joseph Addai, Brandon Jacobs, and Clinton Portis healthy enough to start in fantasy leagues? Well, he said each case is different. Portis has the right matchup and motivation to use without reservation. My gut says the Giants will play it safe with Jacobs, meaning won't start him, but that's just speculation. If you own Jacobs and Derek Ward, I'd root for Jacobs to sit out anyway. Addai sounds unlikely to play. Gore looks like a game-time decision with a 1 p.m. start. I'd use him if he starts. Marion Barber could be a game-time decision in a tough matchup against the Giants. Tashard Choice showed his value, so the workout could be split. Barber's owners may not have the luxury to wait until 8 p.m. Sunday night. The players are ranked below. We'll get to some of his rankings in a bit. So some interesting questions there. Frank Gore, looks like that wasn't a great situation there for him. So that could be a question mark. And I mentioned I have Joseph Addai, and fortunately I have Dominic Rhodes as well. You look at Dallas's situation, and Tashard Choice played really well, even prompting Jerry Jones to make some critical comments of Marion Barber that he sort of backed off from. But Tashard Choice seems like if he's going to get a share of the load, he's an intriguing option. But obviously with an 8 o'clock start, that's tough. Just going back to that San Fran situation a little bit, Frank Gore has just absolutely dominated the workload for San Francisco this year. In fact, the number two rusher for that team, as far as number of carries and yards, it's extraordinarily hard to believe. But it's J.T. O'Sullivan. It seems like he hasn't started a quarterback for them for ages. It's bad enough if a quarterback is number two on a given team for rushing, but when it's a quarterback who has only played for about a month, maybe 6 weeks of the season, he's got 30 carries for 145 yards. The only other rushing touchdowns this team has had, other than Frank Gore's six, Sean Hill, the quarterback who had one of them, and Alan Rossum, the returner, backup running back. So Deshaun Foster is in the mix there, Michael Robinson. So we'll see if there's a guy specifically for that team who gets an opportunity there. Looking at a few of the rankings listings here from for running backs from Greg Rosenthal, obviously, as always, you've got a few of the week-in, week-out stalwarts in the NFL at running back, starting with Adrian Peterson. Brian Westbrook, what a hot streak he's on. Definitely a must-start against Cleveland this week. And then you get to Matt Forte. I mentioned with Steve Slayton earlier, maybe not hitting the rookie wall. He's had three 100-yard rushing games over the last 4 weeks, which is very impressive for anyone, let alone a rookie. But Matt Forte is another one who hasn't hit that rookie wall at all. And Chicago going against New Orleans tonight, that's a has the makings of being a pretty good matchup for Matt Forte. D'Angelo Williams against Denver, can he keep up his pace? Becoming a second-half MVP in the NFL, ranked fourth out of Greg Rosenthal and Chris Johnson fifth for Tennessee going against Houston. LaDainian Tomlinson had a solid outing last week, nearly 100 yards and a touchdown. Going against Kansas City this week at Kansas City, tough place to play, but he's done well in the past against Kansas City. It's interesting when we think about the Patriots and how far down a running back is. Sammy Morris is 27th, ranked 27th going against Oakland. And as far as the Oakland situation goes, Justin Fargas is just above Sammy Morris at 25th. So like I said, Justin Fargas, one of the few bright spots, relative bright spots for Oakland this year. Darren McFadden, much farther down the list. He's been dealing with injury situations as well. As far as quarterback rankings, again, a few surprises. Peyton Manning, number one, Kurt Warner, number two. You've got Manning going against Detroit, has all the makings of being a strong offensive outing for the Colts this week, and Kurt Warner against Minnesota. At this point, it doesn't really matter who Kurt Warner is going against. Minnesota, a strong defense, but not quite the same type of pass defense as you might have expected out of Minnesota. So Kurt Warner is definitely a solid option. And then Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, 3 and 4. These are two of the emerging quarterback stars in the league. Rodgers going against Jacksonville, which seems to have sort of packed it in. And Jay Cutler at Carolina. Good defense, but coming off the Monday night, a big Monday night win. Maybe there's a little bit of a letdown opportunity there that Jay Cutler could exploit. Drew Brees ranked fifth at Chicago. Now, Matt Cassel is the sixth ranked quarterback on the RotoWorld.com rankings this week. And obviously that's not taking into account the personal situation he's going through. But as I said earlier, all expectations are that Cassel will start. And if he does start and if he is as focused as you possibly could be in a tough week like this for him personally, this is a game that he could get after. And while we're on the subject of Cassel, how about the Randy Moss situation? He was for the most part held in check by Marcus Trufant last week. Only one big yardage play that he had. And this week, going up against a Raiders defense that has Nnamdi Asamoah. Now, the question with Asamoah is, will he be defending Randy Moss all the way through, or will he stay to one side, as is the case often with Oakland? If he is on Randy Moss quite a bit, it could be another tough outing. Asamoah, in a conference call yesterday, was talking about the respect he has for Randy Moss. They were teammates for 2 years in Oakland, and he was sort of a mentor to him, sort of teaching Asamoah the types of ways to defend a receiver that make a receiver uncomfortable, and really that's what it's all about. So if Moss taught Asamoah some of that stuff, you got to figure Asamoah, who's one of the best corners in the league, is going to use some of that against Randy Moss this week. So could be a tough outing, but if you ever see if we see Randy Moss lined up against anyone else, expect the ball to go his way. So the Moss situation is interesting this week. In my opinion, it's going to be similar to last week. Wes Welker getting the bulk of the targets, the bulk of the receptions, a lot of yardage. I think Moss might be able to get a little more yardage and a few more catches than he had last week, but good chance that Welker is has a better performance than Moss once again. That's just my opinion, although the revenge factor for Moss and, to a lesser extent, Lamont Jordan could be big this week. A few of the other quarterbacks in the rankings, the top 10, Donovan McNabb against Cleveland. He's sort of a week-to-week proposition, but against Cleveland, you got to go with it. Tony Romo, eighth. I'd slide him down a little bit. I think this is going to be another disappointing outing. I think the Giants are going to have a lot of they weren't happy to lose last week and still win the division. I think they sort of felt, we don't want to win the division that way. What's done is done. They're in the division. You got to be happy with that if you're a Giants fan. But I think they're going to come out swinging and come out with a big performance against Dallas. Sean Hill against Miami. Sean Hill rising up the boards each and every week, sort of along the lines of Matt Cassel, coming out of nowhere and starting and doing well. Phillip Rivers for San Diego going against Kansas City is 10th-ranked quarterback there. As we look a little bit here at the wide receivers now, the wide receiver rankings, Steve Smith is number one for Carolina against Denver, and then you've got the Arizona duo, Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, 2-3 right there. Greg Jennings, fourth against Jacksonville. Andre Johnson for Houston against Tennessee is fifth. Andre Johnson emerging as the type of wide receiver who you're going to want to start every week, regardless of who he's playing against. In this case, it is Tennessee, a great defense, but it seems like he's got a good rapport with Matt Schaub as well, who's starting now. for Houston. Brandon Marshall, 6th. Terrell Owens, 7th. I said earlier I don't see a big performance out of Terrell Owens, but he's 7th ranked. Roddy White, 8th. Randy Moss, 9th. So still top 10 for Randy Moss, and Dwayne Bowe, 10th. I mentioned Welker. He's 13th on the rotoworld.com listings. You've got to dig pretty deep. I'm scrolling down here, scrolling down here, scrolling down here. Not a single Oakland receiver is even on this listing, believe it or not. This listing goes 60 deep, so that kind of tells you how weak the Oakland passing game is, whether Andrew Walter or Jamarcus Russell is playing. And at this point, it looks like Russell is limited this week with his ankle injury. So Andrew Walter may be stepping in there, and that's nothing that Oakland fans are going to be too excited about. At tight end, real quick, Tony Gonzalez is number one, the number one ranked tight end on this list, as he is just about every week. Jason Witten, number two. Dallas Clark, number three. Dustin Keller, 4. And Chris Cooley, 5. We talked about tight end earlier, but some of the middle-tier guys, Antonio Gates is 6th. John Carlson is 7th. Safe pickup. Is what rotoworld.com says. I was very impressed with what he did last week, and it seems like he might have some rapport with Seneca Wallace here, and they're going against St. Louis. Certainly a matchup that they could exploit, and I would certainly be happy to have John Carlson in my lineup. Zach Miller for Oakland, number 8, emerging as a solid tight end. I said earlier, though, and I still feel this way, that Justin Fargas is the only guy I'd consider. And that doesn't even excite me. The only guy I consider on the Oakland offense, I just don't think that the Oakland quarterbacks are able to get the ball out to any of these guys. But Zach Miller is ranked 8th there. Tony Scheffler, 9th, and Owen Daniels, 10th. Benjamin Watson, who had a touchdown last week, is still buried deep down there, number 19 for the Patriots against Oakland. So it hasn't been a productive year for him, but you never know on a given week. He could be targeted in the back of the end zone like he was last week. The defense is Ravens, number one against Pittsburgh. Eagles, number two against Cleveland. The Jets, number three against Buffalo. What a disastrous turn of events for Buffalo after a real strong start. They are now just abysmal, scoring only 3 points in their game against at Toronto against Miami last week. The Steelers are 4th, ranked 4th going against Baltimore. The Colts, 5th. The Patriots are ranked 9th, and if you really want to know about Oakland, the Raiders are down there at the Raiders are at 26, so nothing real special. And for what it's worth, Stephen Gostkowski, the number one projected kicker for this week in the NFL. So it is week 15 in the NFL, which is amazing in and of itself, but it is, for a lot of people, number one playoff week in fantasy football, and good luck to you if you are involved in the playoffs. I am in one of my leagues. We appreciate, as always, a bunch of the emails we got. We will be back next week with a live show. Yes, we'll do it live from Foxborough, going week 16 of the NFL, and for many people, championship week in the NFL in fantasy football. So we'll be happy to help you out with any questions. If you are in your championship, I really want you to send me an email. Send me an email with the most intriguing who to start, who to sit that you have for that week. Want to be able to help you out in championship week, and I certainly hope that I'm out there. Just a couple of quick notes with the Patriots. We talked about Matt Cassel, and like I said, the expectation is he'll be out there. I think Lamont Jordan is going to have a productive outing. I think he's going to be a kind of game where he doesn't necessarily get a ton of carries, but I think he's going to make the most of those carries going in back to the black hole against his former team, a team that I think he ended on a sour note, so he'll want to do some damage there. I like Welker quite a bit again this week, and I like Randy Moss, but a little bit less so. And I think the Patriots defense, if you do have the Patriots defense, has not been a great defense this year, but I think they're going to score a defensive touchdown this week. That's my inkling, whether it be defensive an interception or a fumble recovery. I think this is going to be a game where they're going to make life miserable for the opposing quarterback. They haven't done that a ton this year, but I think this is the week for that. And obviously from a non-fantasy point of view, this is just a huge, huge, huge week for the Patriots. Scoreboard watching as well. See if the San Francisco 49ers can be a spoiler like they were last week in beating the Jets. They play Miami, so that'll be interesting. Be sure to check out Patriots Today. We've had shows all week from out here, plenty of content, and Fantasy Lowdown segment on the Thursday show. And, we're here each and every day, Monday through Friday. And also check out our Patriots Today live game day blog on Sunday, coming to you from Oakland Alameda County Coliseum in Oakland as the Patriots play the Raiders. So we will be back with another edition of the Fantasy Lowdown next week, each and every week here on Patriots.com Radio. My thanks to Dan for producing the show, just a couple thousand miles away from me, but an excellent job nonetheless. Thanks to our emailers. Be sure to email us again next week, patriots.com radio. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Thanks for listening.